Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S.
That was Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg explaining that Meta will replace its fact-checking program with community notes. If you are on Twitter slash X, you know what that is. You can make a post, and if it's a little suspect in the fact department, there'll be a community note underneath that people can contribute to. It feels a little Wikipedia-esque, right?
Yeah, there's Right.
And just saying, hey, you might want to watch out about this statement. It is leaving out the context that, and then like A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And so this is part of Zuckerberg's attempt to move towards freer speech on its social media platform. And this is coming on the heels of being you could call it bombshell. I don't know if it's bombshell. It's just Mark Zuckerberg confirming what we kind of thought, that the Biden administration did pressure Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg said this back in August, that the U.S. government pressured Facebook to censor content related to COVID-19 during the pandemic. That also Facebook did suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story. And he said back in August that he regrets the company's decision to bend to those demands.
Seems like he's bending to the demands of the other side now, though, to me, anyway. I have no problem with content moderation. Every website does it. Any message board you've ever been on for 20 years, if you've ever been to a message board, they always have content moderators. And they'll say, look, don't do this. This is the way we want you to behave. These are our guidelines. If you can't follow them, we'll delete your comment or whatever. Or we'll ban you, whatever it is. And people didn't really object much, except for those who got banned or got their comments deleted, because I think most of us agreed content moderation is perfectly fine. I have no problem with it. If it is a website that leans conservative, too conservative for you, or it leans too liberal for you, don't use it. Nobody is forcing you to use any of these. But I think where a lot of this is coming from, I think there has been, over a 10-year period or more, there has been this prevailing idea that conservative voices are being stifled and liberal voices are being promoted. That's nonsense. Because if you look at Facebook and what they were during the 2016 election, most of the stories that got shared, some of the most widely seen stories, were coming from conservative outlets. Like at any given time, a top 10 of most viewed stories on Facebook, seven or eight of them would be from a conservative news source, Breitbart or something like that. So I think this idea that conservative voices have been held back while liberal ones have been promoted more, I just don't agree with it. I don't think the evidence suggests that at all.
Well, and I think two things can be true at once. I do think Ben Shapiro can have 8 of the top 10 most popular posts on Facebook, the conservative voice, and the Biden administration could have asked, which Mark Zuckerberg said very clearly that they did on the record, to suppress COVID-19 information.
I don't have an inherent problem with that. If we're in a public health crisis and the administration is not forcing you to do anything, but they are saying, look, we're in the midst of this. Some of this misinformation is hurting people. It's killing people. People are getting sick. Would you please do this? They don't have to comply with it. They can't be forced to do anything. But I don't think there's an inherent issue with asking a widely seen, and Facebook, by the way, is still the most widely used social media platform of all of them, even though some of them are gaining in popularity and Facebook has plateaued a bit over the years, it's still the most popular platform. I think there's nothing inherently wrong with saying we're in this once in a generation or multiple generation situation here. we need a little bit of help. I don't think that's that bad.
Yeah, and I do. But again, you know, with Twitter, the same thing. I think Ben Shapiro, some of the more conservative voices can have the top accounts and be popping up on your algorithm at the same time that Twitter suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story and blocked the New York Post from accessing its account, which they did. So two things can be very true at once, because it shows that you can still have the proliferation of some conservative accounts and COVID information this way or that way, while there's an effort from the White House, from the Biden administration, to suppress some of that in the
but
same way that you can
being,
have Twitter. And I think
that's my issue, though.
Yeah,
is you're not being suppressed.
Is,
if people are seeing it, but, your message is not
yes,
being suppressed.
And that's where I'm saying the fact it's the attempt of suppression. It's like saying, well, you didn't get murdered. He tried to murder you, but you're still alive.
Yeah,
it's the same thing
with
information, is there's still a lot of information out there, and some of it was suppressed. And I am not a fan of the government saying, here's what you can and can't say on this company's platform. And I don't like the, because I mean, really what that is like, well, it's a once in a generation. Well, sure. But then what about Biden? Well, that was an election. Okay. Well, pretty soon, you know, further down that road is China that says, well, we don't want you seeing this or that or this or that on your platforms. So for me, the principle matters. And the problem is in a democracy, and I'm not saying this about COVID or politics, I'm saying this overall, right? I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but overall in a democracy, when you do have a lot of freedoms and you value those freedoms and you say the government shouldn't get involved in certain platforms and companies, you can't protect people from stupid. You just can't. If people are going to be stupid and eat Tide Pods, for instance, you can't protect them from that. So I do think, yeah, there is, that's kind of the inherent danger of a free speech platform. To your point, whether Zuckerberg was bending to the Biden administration and now is bending to the Trump administration, I'll say the same thing about Zuckerberg that I said about Jack Dorsey, is they don't care. They don't have principles. Dorsey's going to do what was good for Dorsey and Twitter. That's why he could suppress some information on Twitter, some voices that people were up in arms about, but still allow the supreme leader of Iran to call for the death of all Jews. And it's the same reason why Zuckerberg could allow one thing on Facebook and disallow another thing. It's not because they're acting from unchangeable principles. It's because they're doing what's in the best interest of them and their money and their shareholders, like the NFL.
They don't care about women.
They just want money. They want what's good for them. They don't care about Trump and they don't care about Biden. They care about themselves.
Well, I think they, yes, there's a...
their business.
They absolutely are worried about their business, which is why this is happening now, because I think they're afraid of the incoming administration and what will happen. But I don't agree that this is a slippery slope into the government silencing all speech or silencing any speech. There's a difference between requesting to a media company, hey, could you hold off on this? There's a difference between that and saying, we are stopping you from saying this. We are shutting down your platform. That is a stifling of free speech.
Well, and I think it's the thing is, I don't want the government telling them what misinformation is in a situation.
Well, they could say no. They could say, no, we're not going to do that. We're a free media company and we're not
Which
going
is what,
to.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with the request. Because I guarantee you the Trump administration will do the same thing.
Yeah.
If there is a story they don't like that's about to get out, they will say, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this. Could you please not? And they'll do it through back channels,
I'm
sure.
And I'm close to you in the sense that I think both Trump and Biden administrations will have done it whatsoever. I do think there's something wrong with the request because I do think, especially, for instance, when it came to the COVID pandemic, we all, and the government especially, and the government's messengers could have used a lot more humility, a lot less mockery, because I do go back to messaging matters so much. It's why people spend millions of dollars on communication directors and PR firms. You know, the line about the masks, like laughing to people like, don't wear the masks, they don't work. Oh, now you do need to wear masks. The reason why we told you about the masks, we didn't want you to take them from the doctors. That's super offensive. And even looking at the origins, there are very, very credible, resourced and researched investigators, experts, those in the medical field that have said, hey, we're looking at the origins of COVID and China, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology is super suspect considering they were doing all of these tests, these gain-of-function tests on bat diseases at the same time that some of the first cases started popping up around the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And then for a while, people said, oh, well, that's horrible. You can't say that. We think it was the wet market. And then some said, well, the wet market's bad. And there was this back and forth, but there was mockery as if there was certainty. And I think there's a lot of questions around the origin. If I had to put my life on it, yeah, if there's an explosion near a fireworks factory, I'm pointing at the fireworks factory.
Yeah, well, that's not unusual because there are a lot of the reason there are all those institutes in that area is because that's an area susceptible to having.
So why won't people admit when we've got, I mean, Josh Rogan of The Washington Post was writing a book about it before COVID saying, man, this Wuhan Institute of Virology has been sanctioned multiple times for not following protocol. He had a book already written by the time the even outbreak started saying this is a ticking time bomb.
There are just as many credible organizations and people who say it did come from the wet market. And I don't want to get into this whole thing of where it did actually
come
from.
But what I'm saying is see how that's the misinformation. What's misinformation?
Yeah, but here's my issue with the way COVID was treated by people, millions of people. And I blame a lot of influential politicians in particular for downplaying what COVID was from the start because they just didn't want to do any of the measures that we needed to do to curb the whole thing. They just didn't want to do it. And I think there are millions of people that no matter how the message was delivered to them, they just didn't want to do the masking. They just didn't want to do the distancing. They just didn't want to do vaccines. I don't care if the side of science was saying, look, please, could you do this? We really need it. It will help us. This is how we get past this pandemic. I just think there were millions of people who were going to say no anyway. So I don't think it matters what the message was, or I don't think it matters how it was delivered. They just weren't going to do it.
And this is just, yeah, I mean, sure, I agree. But I will say the reason why the request does bother me, whether it's coming from Biden or Trump, is, again, I don't want them determining what certain misinformation is because they were wrong on the Hunter Biden case. There's a lot of dispute when it comes to COVID. And if you're saying, hey, tamp down the misinformation on COVID, meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi is getting her hair done and Gavin Newsom's going to French Laundry. That does bother people.
Well, they're,
understandably
they're great.
So.
Yeah, I have no problem with that, with being upset with those two people for doing those things. For anybody who broke protocol, I think we should be upset with them. It doesn't take away from the fact there were millions of people who just didn't want to do it. They didn't like being told what to do. That's it. That is an inherently American trait, I think. A lot of people just, they hate being told what to do, even if it's for greater good.
Which I respect. It's kind of what made us America. But speaking of America.
Uh-oh.
Are we going to get to this next?
Oh, come on. We should just rename everything. Our incoming president wants to rename a very large body of water.
How exciting. We haven't gotten to do this since the age of exploration.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name, because we do most of the work there, and it's ours.
You know what caught me there is it's ours. Is it ours?
Well, not. I mean, it's kind of ours.
I think I never thought
just
about it
before. Just like two parents have a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it belongs to dad, but it also belongs to somebody else, too.
Mexico and Cuba.
Yeah. So we do not own the Gulf of Mexico. I'd just like to make that clear.
Can I just say, I'm all in for Greenland. I love it. I like the idea of Greenland. Denmark's not doing anything.
That's
with it.
Great, but they don't want to sell to us.
Well,
so then move on now.
I also want Canada.
Conversation's over.
I want Canada.
Well, they're not interested either, so conversation's over. Let's move forward.
And can I just say, Not on board with the Gulf of America. It's not because I don't love the United States. I love this country. God bless America. I love it so much. The thing is, the Gulf of America doesn't sound as exciting and vacation-y to me. Like the Gulf of Mexico, like you go to Florida, like, oh, are you on the Gulf side? Yeah, the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, it's beautiful. Makes you feel like you're on vacation. The Gulf of America sounds like it is a water park in the Mall of America. It sounds Midwestern, doesn't it?
It sounds like the kind of place I don't need to go to.
Right. The Gulf of America sounds kind of hooge.
Like the, well.
It does.
A little bit.
It's a little hooge. Listen, buy Greenland. Invade Canada. I don't know what to do with the Panama Canal. I mean, if you want it, fine. But the Gulf of America sounds a little huge. That's where I draw the line.
Let's go back to what you said a minute ago. Do you have any interest in going to the Mall of America?
No.
Because I have zero.
Yeah.
Zero
no,
interest.
I don't want to go to the Mall of America.
If I happen to be in Minneapolis, or is it St. Paul? I don't know. But if I happen to be there.
I think it's Minneapolis.
And I'm right next to it.
Yeah.
I'll walk inside. But I am not making a special trip to the Mall of America. I've been to Minneapolis twice.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to the Mall of America.
So let me just say this. I've been to the Mall of America. Years ago, it was 22 years ago at a hockey tournament in Minneapolis, and we had some time to kill before our flight. So we thought, let's go to the Mall of America. And we did.
Were you impressed?
It made me a little sad. It's just so big. And this is coming from someone who loves malls. I love a mall. Love West County Mall. Love the Galleria. The Mall of America was a little obnoxious. It was just too much. It was too much. There was a Rainforest Cafe.
Well, yeah, that's almost every mall.
What? That's the only Rainforest Cafe I've ever seen.
That's the kind
of
restaurant that's in a mall.
Yeah.
So the Mall of America, when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis, was it 5 years ago or something? That's where they had Radio Row, which is where the sports radio stations around the country go, and they broadcast from there. So that's where they had it. They had their whole press thing at the Mall of America, which I guess is kind of cool. But I don't know.
The Gulf
this
of America.
This whole naming of the Gulf of America thing, it seems like not very important, which is why Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to introduce legislation tomorrow to rename it the Gulf of America. My question is, and I am not the first person to ask this question. So I know this is not a unique thought.
Oh, what is it? What's your question?
What's his plan for lowering grocery prices? We just ran an entire election on things are too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We're not dealing with that, but we can name a body of water something different.
I think his
this is so not important.
I think his plan is, hold on, I have a note, naming Wayne Gretzky to be Prime Minister of Canada.
Oh, well, in that case.
I'm in favor of that, too.
What the?
Careful.
What are we doing?
No, okay.
What are we doing?
Well, here's the thing. It is working.
It hasn't even started yet.
We're talking about. I will say this. There are things that we should be talking about. And I know Trump is throwing out crazy statements, which is what he does. An idea. If a thought comes to his head, he says it. I don't know. Maybe this is what I would sound like if I just literally said everything that comes to my head. And believe it or not, I don't, even though I'm on the air for 4 hours a day. If I said every little thing like, oh, I wonder how many socks are in the ocean. How would you go about finding? How do you even find out how many socks are in the ocean? People would say, what is she talking about? There's things that, you know. So I get it. He throws things out there. Here's where we're culpable. And, you know, CNN and so forth. That's all they talked about yesterday. I watched 3 hours of CNN in between the county council meeting. I need a life. Here's what's happening. I have a broken foot. It's very sad. I need a life. But I watched about 3 hours of CNN before I switched over to Gutfeld, which was then interrupted because of the fires. They had to go to the fires in LA, which are terrible. But CNN for 3 hours, whether it was Caitlin Collins, Abby Phillips, and Laura Coates, boom, 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 right? Their nightly lineup. The headline, 99% of the time, is Trump wants Gulf of America. And I get it. And they had a whole panel of six people. The thing is, there are real things going on. And CNN, Trump is president-elect, and yes, he said that. CNN doesn't have to talk about that for three and a half hours. Here's why they're doing it.
Because it is so nuts and so unimportant that he shouldn't even be talking about it. And what they are saying is, here's the incoming president. Here's what he's talking about.
Well,
he wants to rename the Gulf of Mexico. This is what's important to him.
But look at us. We don't have the access that CNN has when it comes to just literally being on Capitol Hill. We're not doing our three-hour show on the Gulf of America. He's a president-elect, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But there are other things that we need to talk about. And they're, like I said, whether you're talking about Meta or you're talking about Biden or the few, you know, his final last dying gasps as he closes out this administration, there's a lot to be said. There are a lot of real concerns. There are a lot of immigration issues. Why aren't they talking about what you just said? Hey, Trump, I know you want to name it the Gulf of America, but what are you going to do to lower prices? That's a better conversation.
Well,
I don't know why they devoted all last night to this. Bring up the fact that it's not going to happen. Because we're not going to change it. What are we doing about inflation?
Because it in itself is so crazy that it shouldn't even be suggested by an incoming president. We shouldn't even be talking about it.
But this is
it shouldn't be on his mind.
This is where I think
that's why it's such a story for a lot of people. Is it the most important thing in the world?
No,
but it does speak to the mindset of the incoming president.
But
this is what is on his mind right now.
And I like CNN. I like some of the Caitlin Collins does a great job, and some of the reporters and so forth. You know, I'm not trying to pick on them. I'm just saying, ultimately, it comes down to eyeballs. And when Trump wasn't president, CNN lost viewership. And now, you know, maybe they're trying to get that viewership back because there were other things they could have talked about last night and made good points like the ones you made. Say, here are the things we need to think about.
But like I said, I'm not the first person to bring up the grocery prices thing. There are dozens and dozens, if not millions, of people who are saying the same thing. How does this fix the prices that you have been crying about being too high?
I think that
how
has
does
to
this
do with
address
Greenland.
That? Oh. So we
I
take
like Greenland.
We take Greenland and then eggs will suddenly be cheaper.
We get all the
Let's
Greenland
go.
Chickens.
Wow.
How would you not think of that?
Oh my God, I'm so dumb.
Think about it. Think ahead. 4D chess, Ranj.
Let's talk to Matt Pauley when we come back, because the Blues, man, what the hell last night? They drop one to the Wild, and of course, countdown to opening day, a show we have here on KMOX until the season starts. That'll be tomorrow. But Matt Pauley, our sports fella, is next. Yeah, we talk to Matt Pauley every Monday and Wednesday here on KMOX. He is our sports fella. He hosts a show called Sports Open Line, which happens from 6 until 8 o'clock here on KMOX at night, when there's no SLU basketball, when there's no football being played, when there's no Cardinals baseball, or when there's no countdown to opening day, which is tomorrow.
A lot of caveats there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. But every other time, he's on. Hey, Matt Pauley.
How's it going?
Hey, how did the Blues lose that one last night?
Yeah, that was a weird one where they got down and then they got up and then Minnesota took it. It was kind of reminiscent of what we saw early on in the season where the Blues really played poorly in the third period.
Yeah, Coach Jim Montgomery did say after the game that he wasn't thrilled. He wasn't thrilled with their effort and how they handled the adversity last night.
Yeah, I anytime you have a lead in the third period and you get outscored 3-0, that's a problem, and that's what happened last night.
Well, so how do they fix that problem then?
I mean, they've been playing pretty good hockey here since Jim Montgomery took over. So when we were talking about them being outplayed so much in the third period during the Bannister time, it was happening game after game after game. Let's just, if this becomes a trend, then we start talking about it. I don't think at this point it's really worth talking about.
Even if it's not a trend and they're just okay, they kind of have to be better than okay, though, to make that final playoff push. Like, there's just not a lot of time. I mean, that's the unfortunate part of this is Jim Montgomery obviously was a catalyst for the turnaround of the play of this team. They started moving in the right direction, but the old cliche, too little, too late. You might be in that position unless they're able to make a stronger push. That's why, we're not freaking out about last night. It's just that you can't have too many of those games.
Yeah, I guess I kind of talk out of both sides of my mouth on this one, because on one side of things, they're only 3 points out of a playoff spot. They've got 42 points, and right now Vancouver is the final team in the West, and they've got 45 points. So 3 points is not the biggest thing in the world, and the Blues' schedule has been tough. They've played more road games than any other team in the entire NHL. So that's talking out of one side. On the other side of things, this team has played really good hockey since Jim Montgomery took over, and essentially they're in the exact same spot as they were before in the standings. So I can sit here and tell you that it's only 3 points, but at the same time, we're watching them being able to make up 3 points is really, really challenging.
Amy makes a good point, though, here, that the season is, it's sort of, for me anyway, like you've looked up, and we're pretty deep into it. They're just past the halfway point of the year? So, I mean, there is time to make up ground, and it's not that much ground to make up, but if they're trying to get into the postseason, they really can't afford a whole lot of those opportunities of points slipping by.
Yeah, anytime you get done for the night and you feel like you let some points go, and then you look at the standings and you see where you're at, that's obviously going to hurt.
Hey, Matt, any more news, rumors, mumblings when it comes to Nolan Arenado and perhaps him heading to Boston, other than what we heard that he would be open to that?
Yeah, not really. I think at this point they're still waiting for, the Bregman situation's got to figure itself out. The Red Sox are still in on him. If they, I think for Cardinals fans who want Nolan Arenado to get traded, you should be rooting for Bregman to sign with another team like the Tigers. And for those of you who want Nolan Arenado to stick around, you probably want Bregman to sign with the Red Sox because based off all the reporting that's out there, and it's good, solid reporting, the Red Sox appear to be the one team that there's still a possibility of something working out with, and if that door closes by Bregman becoming a Red Sox, well then I don't know what happens then. It seems very likely that when spring training opens up, Nolan Arenado is still a Cardinal, which if you would have asked me what the possibility of that happening, I mean, you guys may have asked me the possibility of that happening coming out of the winter meetings, I would have told you 1%, yet here we are with it being a legitimate possibility.
Yeah, so that was really where I was going to go with this. If you, and I know a lot can happen between now and next month, but if you had to guess, is he in a Cardinal uniform when we start spring training?
I still say no, but I'm not. It's not a strong no. It's kind of one of those 51-49 type no's at this point. It's really wild what has happened here. Mm-hmm. And look, they had him traded. They had him traded to the Astros, and then he invoked his no trade clause, which he is absolutely allowed to do. And then John Mozeliak told Tom Ackerman on Sunday morning during Sports on Sunday morning that it's pretty quiet right now, and I believe him when he says that.
Yeah, Matt, I think that was maybe the biggest surprise yesterday when we talked to Bernie Miklas and said, okay, is there a chance that Arenado could put on a Cardinals jersey again this year? And I think like a month ago, I would have said absolutely not. And Bernie said, yeah, there's a chance. And that just blows my mind. Like, is it awkward then at that point if he does end up in the clubhouse?
No, I don't think so. Maybe the relationship between him and the team is a little bit strained at that point because they openly talked about wanting to trade him and they didn't. But again, he could have left if he wanted to. So he's the one who made the decision to remain a Cardinal because he turned down the trade to the Astros. So I don't think it's an awkward situation. This is just me talking. This is not any type of reporting that's out there or anything. Part of me wonders if in the back of his mind he has so much confidence in himself. There's certain places he really wants to go, and he feels like if he gets off to a hot start, maybe there's a better possibility of being able for a deal like that to get worked out where he could get traded midseason. The problem with that is the Cardinals have openly spoken about the fact that they want to reduce payroll, and that if they don't trade Arenado, they're going to have to reduce payroll in other ways. So it's a darned if you do, darned if you don't, because if you don't trade him, well, then you're probably trading some other pieces to alleviate payroll, and then all of a sudden he gets off to a hot start, let's hypothetically say, and interest goes up for him. Then you trade him, and you've lost Arenado, you've lost other players. It's just not a great situation.
And not to belabor the point, but you're saying like this would be less of an awkward situation than it was with Vladimir Tarasenko when he was saying it's not a good fit anymore. He didn't like the doctors,
yeah.
and he ended up still playing for the Blues for a bit, and that was uncomfortable.
Right. No, yeah. Nothing like that at all.
All right. I got two more things for you. We will start with the college football playoff, which the semis start tomorrow. The Orange Bowl has Notre Dame and Penn State. And then on Friday, it'll be Texas and Ohio State. So any thoughts on who will end up in the championship game?
I think Ohio State's going to beat Texas. I feel good about that pick. Man, that Notre Dame-Penn State game, to me, that's a toss-up. I think that's a really, really good game. I can be talked in to any direction. I think Penn State's a little bit more talented, but I don't totally trust them. But how can you trust? I don't know. I've been thinking about that one a lot. That's just a toss-up for me. I can't really make a pick on it because I have no clue who's going to win that game.
And wild card weekend in the NFL playoffs will be this weekend. There will be games Saturday, Sunday, and then a Monday night game. Of course, the Kansas City Chiefs have that number one seed, so they are not going to play at all. There have been a lot of people who, not a lot, but too many. If it's five, it's too many, who have been criticizing the Chiefs for resting all of their starters and therefore denying Cincinnati a chance into the playoffs. I know how I feel about it. How do you feel about it?
You take care of yourself first. That's what you do. So no, you don't put your own players in harm's way and potentially hurt yourself for a postseason run to go help another team. They weren't intentionally hurting Cincinnati. If they did something kind of unscrupulous to lose purposefully at the end of the game or something because they didn't want Cincinnati to get in, that would be one thing. But that's not what they did. They just took care of themselves.
I could not agree with you more. I think that's the dumbest controversy. And there have been a couple of actual college football people who have, or college football, but NFL people who have suggested that that's one guy said that was, and I can't remember who it was. It's not even worth bringing up his name, but he said something to the effect of it's one of the worst things to happen this year. And it is not. No, it is not. If Cincinnati wanted to make it to the playoffs, win more.
Yeah.
Play better.
Win one more game.
Yeah.
Play better.
Exactly. Matt Pauly, do you have Sports Open Line tonight, even though there's SLU basketball and you sound like you're dying?
I sound much better. I sound much better than I did the last few days.
But you still sound like you're dying.
All right. Well, I have pneumonia, okay? So there you go.
You know that's Matt Pauly, if you're a loyal listener to our show, we had talked about this a few weeks ago. The pneumonia rates are through the roof.
It's been a real craze.
10 times higher than they've ever been. I have a friend, not only did her whole family, but all four kids. Have you ever heard of little kids with pneumonia, all four of them? I've never heard of that.
This is a first in my life.
Yes.
And it's as sick as I have ever been.
Oh.
I got it on, I did a college basketball game in Springfield on Saturday, and it like came on as I'm doing that game. My voice was good enough at the start, and by the end I had no voice. I'm driving home from Springfield, and I just feel like I'm dying, and I know I got to get to the urgent care when I get home, and they do a chest x-ray, and I've got full-blown pneumonia, and I didn't get out of bed until yesterday, basically.
Was it coughing?
Everything. You don't want to know.
No, so I don't want to know. Man.
You had the laying around pneumonia,
which
is different than the walking pneumonia.
Yeah. Well, get better, Matt. It's a dangerous world out there.
Yeah.
It is bad.
It is. But I'm here. I'm talking to you.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
I diagnosed John Hancock with pneumonia a few weeks ago.
Did he? Is that what he had?
I think so. I think he said he did have it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad he's better. He was coughing for like
I know.
Three
Five
months.
Weeks. I know. He did. I've never, like I said, pneumonia has always been, oh, Aunt Judy, she's got pneumonia. And literally, young people are getting pneumonia. And it's moving through families like I've never seen before.
So wild.
Ugh.
I don't like it. Well, stay safe out there.
Be safe.
All of you. Stay away from the pneumonia people. Get yourself well. That's Amy Markscore's I'm Chris Ranji. Reach out to us because we love you.
Hey, Ranj.
What?
You're doing it right next. You're telling the story.
Oh, God.
You teased the story so much yesterday. He's doing it, folks.
Oh, yeah, I got a story to tell you.
He's telling the story.
When we come back on KMOX. Told you that you can weigh in with us. 314-436-7900. Amy Markscore's Chris Ranji with you until 1 o'clock when the Dave Glover Show takes over. We have Lori, who's in St. Louis and is with us on KMOX. Hello, Lori.
Good morning, Chris and Amy.
Good morning.
Hi. So I'm calling because when the guy answered the phone, he said, what are you calling about? And I thought, I was watching the game Sunday, and I was so excited. And I'm not a Bears fan. I'm a football fan. But anyway, but I was really happy to watch the end of the game and see them win. And I like when the guy kicked the field goal. I was like, oh, Chris Ranji. I can't wait to hear what he has to say at 10 o'clock on Monday morning. And then Amy gets on at 10:02 and she's like, yo, Chris is still on vacation with his wife and kids in Chicago. And then I forgot Monday, Tuesday. But I have been so excited for you, Chris. I don't, you know, I listen to you guys every morning.
Aww.
Except the past two mornings I haven't, but.
Well, what the hell, Lori? Hey.
I don't know what I was doing. I'm just off.
Well,
I apologize.
Clearly.
Unacceptable.
Never clearly. Allow that to happen again.
Ever, ever, ever. But I must say, the whole thing you guys were talking about earlier, actually, I want to hear Chris's response because I was going to say something else, but.
Well, they won a game.
Wait, yeah.
They still suck.
Uh-huh.
I hate them very much, but that was a lot of fun. They haven't beat. They have not beaten the Packers since 2018.
He
That's
sent
embarrassing.
Us that win.
Lori, he sent us Matt Pajeski and me a little emoji. It was adorable of a bear face, like a bear, and the little arrow pointing down. Bear down.
Bear down.
Yeah. How adorable is that?
I was happy. That they won that game, but also I'm sitting here knowing that they are 100% going to blow the hire. Whoever they decide is their next head coach, they are going to screw that up. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Did you have another question for him? Or no?
No, my only other thought was the whole idea of changing the name to the Gulf of America. I'm like, seriously, there's way more important things we need to be dealing with.
Well, and, maybe and not.
Don't you think it loses some of the draw? Gulf of America sounds like it's in Minnesota, doesn't it?
Oh, I hadn't thought about it like that. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
The Mall of America. It sounds like a fake Gulf. Very boring. Thank you, Lori.
Lori, we appreciate you. Don't you dare ever not listen to us ever again.
I promise. I'm a Girl Scout. I promise.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm an old Girl Scout, but yes, okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Lori.
Bye. Well, all right. So we won't reprimand her because she promised not to do it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
So
do
speaking
it.
Of speaking of the wife and kids,
mm-hmm.
I do not have a wife and kids or kids.
Allegedly.
I do not.
Allegedly.
I don't even have a thing. I don't even have a serious thing. Uh-huh. That's going on in Chicago.
You're just juggling a few unserious ones.
That's okay. Well, you just. I don't need you to be like this.
Because everybody knows.
I'm trying to open up to you.
Okay,
right
I'm
now.
Sorry. You're right. You know what he did. He said, Amy,
so I'm gonna
you always accuse me of playing it close to the vest. He said, I'm going to be vulnerable.
And I want participation on this because I want to know if anybody has ever experienced something similar. Mm-hmm. And I might tell you, and you might think, that's not that big of a deal. So last time I was up there, I met a lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was a nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
Actually ended up hanging out with her for a couple of days. It was completely random. Didn't think it was going to happen.
Okay.
It wasn't. I didn't spend the entire time with her, but I saw her a couple
we
of times.
We hung out for a few days.
Just
right.
I saw her multiple days
I'm not judging.
In a row.
Yep. Okay. It
feels like you're judging.
Well.
So we continued the conversation, and I'm not one to be like, oh, I met a girl. You should, I got to tell you about this, because I like to see how it plays out first.
Ranj would send me a wedding invitation before before he told me he met someone.
That I met. Yeah,
yes.
Could not be more accurate.
You know, what is Ron really like?
Yep.
I don't know. He literally could be dating someone for 2 years, but until there's a wedding, I'm not going to know.
So this person, you know, we talked daily. It was progressing. Not progressing, but it was happening, right? She started listening to the show a little bit. Okay. She really liked you.
Was she upset about the wife and kids? I hope I didn't ruin it.
No, I think at one point she said, am I the wife and kids? I'm like, no, dude. You are not the wife or the kids.
Okay.
So it was going fine.
Oh, no.
And then I said, you know what? I had sort of planned on going back up for New Year's Eve. I was not 100%, mm-hmm. but I was like 75%. And I said, well, if you want to, I will be there. I will come up. We'll hang out. Right. I mean, I had other people that I was going to see, and then she was going to be a part of the whole thing. So like the day before New Year's Eve, she's like, she had gone through a breakup, wasn't a good breakup, which I knew. I was probably the R-E-B-O-U-N-D, get that rebound, which is fine. I can be the rebound. I don't mind. She, the day before, is like, you know, I don't know if I want to do a thing tomorrow with a bunch of people. I don't know if I want to be out. And I said, okay, well, here are the plans. We're doing this dinner thing. People are going to be going. You'll be a part of it. And she says, okay, well, we'll talk tomorrow. Day of, I got this feeling she's not coming.
Yeah. Had you told your other friends that she was coming?
Oh, they knew.
Okay.
They met her.
Okay.
So the day of, this is New Year's Eve, I'm texting with her and I go, so my guess is you're out for tonight, right? And she's like, yeah, just not, this is not, I'm not doing well right now. I need some time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, sure. Perfectly fine. So the dinner gets canceled because a couple of other people dropped out too.
Oh.
So it ended up being, there were four of us then,
okay.
And it went from 8 to 4. And so there were four of us. And so we just kind of found our way for the night. We just sort of hung out. And we end up going to the bar that this person knew we were going to. And at about 9 o'clock, guess who shows up to the bar with a different dude?
Oh.
A different dude.
No.
She showed up with him.
But she knew.
She knew I was going to be there.
There are 7 billion bars in Chicago.
It's unbelievable. And then she came over and was like, hi, Chris. I'm like, are you out of your mind? That's insane, right? That's insane behavior.
Yeah.
Tell me that's not crazy.
It's crazy and rude. And here's the thing. If she went to a different bar with that guy, fine, no big deal. We're none the wiser. Why did she go to that bar? Was she trying to send you a message?
I can't imagine she was. But then,
oh no.
The next day, she apologized to me and said, "Hey, I've been thinking about you and my sister. Would you be interested in meeting my sister?"
No. No.
She wants me to go out with her sister.
Tell me you ghosted her, please. Tell me you did not even respond.
I can't tell you what I said.
I mean, because for me, to be completely honest, I would have blocked that number and never responded.
I didn't block because I still have curiosity.
About the sister? What if she's better looking?
Well, the sister did follow me on Instagram.
Oh,
so
my gosh. Maybe what I if have they're to... a weird thing?
But you know what, though? I've never dated sisters. So
ew.
Maybe.
What if they're grooming you for something weird?
Should I go out with the sister? 314-436-7900. Let me know. Justin Trudeau has resigned as Prime Minister of Canada. We're going to talk to CNN anchor and correspondent Paula Newton next. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.